You're listening to the First Baptist Rockdale Sunday Sermons Podcast. First Baptist Rockdale is a church dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
So this morning, when I got out of bed, my wife is not home, and she's in San Antonio with her parents, and usually she dresses me. So then today, I had to pick out my own outfit. No, that's not true. I usually actually dress myself. I'm a big boy. And as I was looking in my closet for what it was that I would wear today, I was struck by this beautiful gray shirt with a knockoff Texas A&M logo right here that says, "Yo." And I know for Austin, it brings him great joy as a Yo graduate. But for a lot of people in this room, this is not the right logo to be wearing in church. Even Milano people are thumbs downing it in the back. I said, there's a reason for me to wear it. And the reason is really quite simple. As I walked around the church today, I began by counting how many people were commenting negatively about my shirt. And then I kind of thought, well, maybe I should change the way in which I'm counting because the numbers are going up too quickly. And I'll start counting on those people who just like don't mention it at all. And then that number was not moving up very quick. And so I went with how many people actually like what I wear. And the number is one. One person has come to me and say, "Hey, that's a nice shirt." I have heard from a dozen or more of you saying, "What are you doing?" My daughter, who did not go to Rockdale schools, never set foot in a Rockdale school for any educational purposes, yet is wearing a Rockdale Tigers hoodie, comes to me and says, "Did somebody die? Why are you wearing that shirt?" If you know me, you know I love Rockdale schools. I am much more Tiger Fight Never Dies than whatever the heck Yo is. Yo Pride or whatever they are over there across the river. Years ago, I was given this shirt by a man who was attending the church here as his parting gift to me as he was moving out of Cameron. He said, "Here's something you need to diversify your wardrobe." He didn't appreciate the shots that Cameron would get from the pulpit from time to time. But when you see this shirt as a Rockdale person, there's something in you that says, that's not right. That's not an appropriate thing for the pastor at First Baptist Church Rockdale to be wearing. I don't want my preacher wearing that thing. It doesn't look right. It's not becoming. It's not fitting. It's not what he should be doing. If I had a nice little Tigers logo here in script, you'd be like, "Oh, that's an appropriate shirt right there." Be a nice royal blue shirt, right? And a little Tigers across there, or a gold one. And Tigers shirt, we would love that shirt. But the Yo really stands out. It bothers us. Because it's so clearly the wrong thing for me to do. Now, if I was the pastor of First Baptist Cameron, this would be appropriate Sunday morning wear, I guess, there. I don't even know if they do church in Cameron, though, honestly. How could they over there across the river, right? I don't understand it. That's not true. There are somehow a missionary force in Cameron right now working to bring the gospel to that godless city. All right, we are in Proverbs chapter 7 today. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs 7 is, on the face of it, very, very straightforward. I will give you the most elementary version of Proverbs chapter 7 that I can today. My Bible gives it a heading of warning against the adulteress. If you were here last week, you heard my sermon, which was warnings against adultery. So I feel like maybe we know, hopefully you know, if you've been here but two out of the last 3 weeks, you have heard me say, "Hey, if you're married, you should be faithful to the wife of your youth. You should not be cheating on her. You should be faithful. You should be absolutely devoted because there is destruction at the end of that." So I think that we've got that ground well covered. I think we understand that. I think we at least know that well enough to move to the secondary application of Proverbs chapter 7. And the way that we get to the secondary application of Proverbs chapter 7 is by looking at the way in which God speaks of adultery in the Bible. If you've read the book of Hosea, there's this long, a 12-chapter long book about spiritual adultery, spiritual idolatry. And God commands Hosea to marry this woman, Gomer, who was an unfaithful wife. And he takes her, even though she was unfaithful before they were married. She's unfaithful in the marriage. She leaves him. He takes her back again to be his. At the end of the book, God says, this is an example of what I am doing. I am Hosea. You are Gomer. You are unfaithful in the way in which you worship me. But I am long-suffering in that. And yes, there will be judgment and punishment, but at the end of all things, I will restore you to myself. The church in the New Testament is understood to be the bride of Christ. We are to be presented to Christ as a unit, pure and undefiled. Our worship of God should be fully committed to Him and to Him alone. We shouldn't have other gods that we sometimes mess around with and give entertaining thoughts to, because we are fully and committedly, decidedly, monogamously faithful to the Lord our God. God is a jealous God. We see that throughout Scripture in the Ten Commandments, right? He says, you should worship no other gods, for I am a jealous God. My name is Jealous. He's not jealous for something he shouldn't have. He's jealous for what he is rightfully owed, which is worship by his creation. And so today we're going to look at this idea of adultery with the twinge of idolatry, and we're going to receive some warnings today about how you can avoid wandering down into paths that you shouldn't be, that leads you to destruction and betraying your one true love, which is hopefully, if you're here today as a believer, your Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're not, by the time you're done, I hope you're ready to make him your one true Lord. Proverbs chapter 7, starting in verse 1. He writes, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend. To keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. So the first thing we see here is that there is this forbidden woman, this adulteress with her smooth words. And in a spiritual sense, this is the enemy that the Bible has warned us about from the very, very beginning. There is an enemy out there who is constantly seeking to lead people away from the faithful and true worship of God to anything else. Satan does not particularly care if you worship Allah, or if you worship any of the gods of the Hindu religion, or if you worship no God. Satan is not concerned about what you replace God with, what you replace Christ with. It doesn't bother Satan at all who you choose to worship. He isn't seeking to get worship to himself. He doesn't need that. He just needs to make sure you're not worshiping the Lord. And so we have these things that have been presented to us, and there's two main windows that we are tempted to look into when we're not satisfied with the Lord. And the first window is the traditional window that gets laid out, the window that the Israelites fell into, which is other gods, known other gods. So you see this throughout the Bible. You see Baal and Molech and Asherah. You would see these gods and goddesses that Israel would see, and they would look over the land and say, man, that land is being blessed. Who is their God? Let me worship that God, because that God is being a better God than our God is being right now. And they would trade the worship of the one true God for the worship of the Baals and Asherahs. Now, Baal is not currently being worshipped, at least in his current incarnation, much today. But there are countless religions. And in fact, every probably year we get a few more that someone comes up with and begins to present as a religion. And those religions are from the same spirit. They're like satanically derived. That's the only point that they have. And they will lead you to worship anything other than God. Not all religions are created equally. I do not believe that to be true. I believe that there is true religion and there is false religion. And the difference between the false religions is that they aren't true. Anything that tells you to worship something other than the Trinitarian God as described in Scripture, anyone who wants to tell you to find hope in anything other than the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is leading you down false paths. And these people will knock on your doors. I saw them walking the streets of my neighborhood this week as I was driving around yesterday. We have Jehovah's Witnesses who will actively go out and knock on doors and present to you a false gospel as if it was from the Word of God. You'll see Mormons dressed very nicely in their white shirts and ties. They're very, very friendly. They've got to be, because it's not good for them not to be. And so they're very, very nice men. very, very earnest. I have no doubt about their sincerity, about what they claim to believe. But it is a path that leads to destruction, right? And they are part of, unknowingly, largely, they're part of this smooth-talking, forbidden woman adulteress who's trying to entice people away from the Lord. And their prominent hunting ground, by the way, the Mormons do really good work inside of Southern Baptist circles, because you know what you love? You love the Bible. If you're a Southern Baptist, you love the Bible. You may not even know why you love the Bible, but man, I love the Bible. And the Mormons will walk up with the Bible in hand, and you'll say, man, I'm a Southern Baptist. We love the Bible. I'm like, man, we love the Bible too. Like, yeah, it's great. Like, would you like to do a Bible study with us? I love doing Bible study. Let's do Bible study together. And now you have entertained the forbidden woman, right? And so what should we do to avoid that? Well, the very first part of Proverbs gives us a warning here in Proverbs chapter 7. It says that we should love God properly to prevent idolatry. We should honor his commandments. We should treasure his insights. We should seek wisdom as if it was our intimate friend, because they will guard us from adultery. It will guard us from spiritual idolatry. Guys, I want you to know that loving God properly prevents idolatry. Just as loving your spouse properly, fully and completely loving your spouse and loving her completely the way you're supposed to will prevent adultery, loving God properly will prevent idolatry. Because when they knock on your door, or when you get in, oh, I didn't give you the other window, by the way, that we look into. I'm sorry about it. The other window, outside of like nominal religions out there, whether it's like Christian offshoot cults like Jehovah's Witness and Mormons, or it's full other religions like New Age stuff or Hinduism or Islam, right? The other window, though, is this worship of no God. And this is kind of like the rationalistic mind window that is opened up today. It is the God of today, right? And so people want you to look into that window and say, well, like, there is no God. And they begin to break things down that way. Both those windows lead to destruction. And so we need to be aware of those. But if we love God properly, we will not fall into those things. That means that we need to be meditating on the words of God. We need to be thinking on the truth of God. We need to be inside of a community of faith to keep us where we should be with the Lord. We need to be serving God, because that pushes us forward in our faith. You'll have an opportunity to do some service of God tonight, 4 to 6 p.m. Come out. Maybe your whole service will be saying, how many bowls of soup do you want? And going and grabbing that number of cups and bringing the cups to the car while someone else is praying. Maybe you'll be out holding a sign saying, turn here for prayer. Right? I don't know what your role will be, but all of those service will help you to love God properly. And loving God properly will prevent idolatry. Verse 6, pick up with me. It says, for at the window of my house, this is the Father speaking, I've looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking sense, passing along the street near her corner, taking the road to her house in the twilight, in the evening, at the time of night and darkness. So this man is looking out his window, and he sees a simple, ignorant young man wandering into a trap that he did not see coming. He just wandered down the path. Guys, ignorance leads us down dangerous paths. Just walking in foolish ignorance will take you down paths that you should never be in. It will take you, you may not think about what you're doing, and that lack of thinking about what you're doing will lead you to destruction very, very quickly. I'm a fan of sports. I like watching sports and learning about sports and everything that goes with that. That's why wearing a Cameron shirt really does bristle against my skin, because I root against that team. One thing I see all the time in sports is you'll hear an athlete gets arrested for some crime, and you begin to hear the details of the crime, and where are they? Well, they're exactly where they should not be. They're leaving some club at 2 a.m. when they should not be out, in a place that they should not be, in a dangerous part of town, leads them to destruction. There's a lot of places that you should not go, right? As a married person, there's places you should not go, because it can lead you to the destruction of your marriage. As a Christian, there's a lot of places that you need to be aware of your surroundings and say, this is not a safe place for me to be. I've known Christians who have gone into long-term Bible studies with Mormon missionaries. They just sit down and entertain the Mormon missionaries for long term. I want you to know, you may think that you're going to lead this 19-year-old young man to Jesus Christ and a true knowledge of Christ. Well, you may intend for that to be the case. But you know, you are purposely walking down dangerous paths in ignorance of the risks that are right around you. And a lot of times people just ignorantly go through their life. They don't think about where they are. They don't think about where they are on the internet. They don't think about who they're socializing with their friend groups. And very, very quickly, the people whose voices begin to speak truth, their truth into your mind, which initially seems so objectionable, after a couple of months, a couple of years of being in those social circles, the thing that you once held dear seems objectionable, and the things that your friends that said at the initial point that you thought was wrong, you buy hook, line, and sinker. And guys, it happens, right? It happens through just ignorance. We're in places that we should not be, in times that we should not be there. King David, a man after God's own heart, is walking around the roof of his palace. And the Bible says this is in the time that kings go off to war. And David is not where he should be. He is not off at war. His warriors are off at war, but he's wandering on the roof of his palace where he should not be. And in ignorance, is walking around, looks out across, and sees Bathsheba, this woman, taking a bath on her roof, purifying herself. And David, being where he should not be, when he should not be there, leads him to betraying Bathsheba, to betraying his wife, to betraying his country, and to ultimately leading to the destruction of his family. Right? It doesn't take a lot to enter into these places, but if we're not purposeful about where we are, and that means like where we physically are, the friends that we physically around, but also where we are now that we live on these like little, I don't usually have my phone with me at the pool, but now we have these like little phones here. I mean, we're always able to go anywhere we want. And there's places in your little cell phone, laptop world that you really have no business being. As a believer, they're not places where you need to go and be as a missionary presence. I'm going to go and share the truth here. I have a friend of mine, he's an atheist, and he was, it's years ago now, but he's like, hey, you should do like an Ask Me Anything on Reddit at r/atheism, which is like a huge atheism part of the internet. He's like, because I'm, I'm a Christian, I'm convictionally a Christian. He says, I think it could be good. And I'm like, I don't think it's going to be good. I don't think it'll be good for me to get yelled at by a bunch of angry atheists on the internet. I just don't feel like that's going to be a good environment for me to be in. But people go into places like that and they think, well, I'm just going to look and see what people are saying, what people are believing, what people are thinking. And it doesn't take long if that's where you surround yourself with, that you become, as we'll say, radicalized in the same way as your online world. I think a lot of us would do well to basically disconnect from the internet for large parts of our life. It does not really help us. Go outside, talk to your neighbor. Go cut your grass. Go be salt and light in your community. Right? There's wonderful things the internet brings. There's wonderful knowledge the internet has out there. I'm not opposed to it. I'm not a complete Luddite, but I do think we need to be aware that ignorance leads us down dangerous paths. And a lot of us, we have no discernment about where we set our feet, physically or digitally. We're putting ourselves in dangerous places. What happens to us when we get caught there? Verse 10, behold, the woman meets him, this guy wandering the streets, dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She's loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner, she lies in wait. She seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I paid my vow, so I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly, and I found you. I spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. For my husband's not home. He's gone on a long journey. Took a bag of money with him. He won't be back till full moon. And with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. All at once, he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. As a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. This ignorant man is walking down the street, and the woman, this woman who is a picture of Satan herself, right, is lying in wait, looking for him, hunting for him, seeking for his destruction. Where he went in ignorance, he's found there. And he's found in a vulnerable state, and this vulnerable person will succumb to Satan's lies. If you're ignorant and you're wandering into place, I want you to know that you are in a vulnerable position. And when you're vulnerable, Satan's lies begin to get very, very convincing. And this woman's lies are so consistent. She's like, my husband's not home. It's all going to be okay. And my bed's made up and everything smells right. And she's seeking any way she can to lead him into the path to get into the trap that she has set for him. It will cost him his life. It will lead to the destruction for him in the marital sense. But spiritually, Satan is actively seeking to catch people in any way that he can. And if he finds that you're interested in New Age hippie nonsense, he will put those things right in front of you every single day. He'll put the friends around you who are talking about, you know, energies and crystals and, you know, they're going to get in there. He's going to talk about burning the sage to get rid of the bad stuff in your house, right? Whatever it is that you have a natural curiosity towards, Satan's going to bring those people to you because he's lying in wait, seeking to destroy you. And you are a vulnerable person when you find yourself in ignorance, wandering down dangerous paths. And when you're in that state of vulnerability, you succumb to Satan's constant advances. See, Satan's not a gentleman. A nice gentleman will come up to a lady and say, "Hey, would you like to go out for dinner?" And if the lady says, "No, I don't want to go out for dinner," the gentleman's like, "Huh." Satan is not a gentleman. "Would you like to go to dinner?" "No." "Okay, I hear you don't want to have dinner. Well, how about appetizers?" "No." "Okay, well, I know. How about a cup of coffee?" "No." And he will continue to badger and pester and annoy and wear you down. He'll find your weakness. He'll exploit your weakness because his only goal is to lead you from the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ into the kingdom of darkness. That's his only goal. That's the only joy that he gets, is leading people in the same rebellion that he once led in heaven on earth. And we walk in ignorance so often into places we should not be, online and with friends, and we don't set the proper boundaries, and we listen to the conversations, and we think that we're strong enough, or we think that it's not affecting us, but it does. You know, I've known teenagers who were just a little bit different. And now if you're different as a teenager, like, there's a lot of people looking to tell you why you're different, and why you were born to be so different, and they're going to put in Satan's lies very, very quickly into the mind of these teenagers. And I've seen, like, pretty standard kids from pretty nice Christian homes who, because they were just, you know, I don't know, just not normal in the sense that they found acceptance in a group that Satan had pre-designed for them to ensnare them, to lead them down destructive paths. And they renounce their faith, they walk away, and Satan claims victory over those souls. And the church is bereaved of them. Vulnerable people succumb to Satan's lies. We have to recognize that if we put ourselves in these dangerous paths, it is not long till we become caught in a snare. I mean, look at the pictures. They're like an ox goes to the slaughter. A stag is caught fast till an arrow pierces its liver. A bird rushes into a snare, not knowing that it will cost him his life. And it's not just this life. It's the life that is yet to come, the life that will go on forever. Verse 24. "And now, O sons, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way to Sheol, going down to the chambers of death." Right, look at it. It's like, "For many victims has she laid low. All her slain are a mighty throng." You know, the fact that Satan has this pile of bodies, of souls that he's captured, should be warning to us. It really should. We should look around and be like, man, he's really ruined a whole lot of people's lives. Sometimes it doesn't even matter that we see the destruction from people that we love. It doesn't affect us at all. We just want someone to tell us that, like, we're in charge, that we're okay, that we can be the masters of our own destinies. We want someone to tell us that there's a spiritual force out there that we can tap into if we do the right rituals or the right routines, if we incant the right spells or the right prayers, we can commune with God. I want to be told that the way of your parents was foolish and the way that you're taking is wise, to stroke our egos. And we may see the destruction around those movements, we may see the destruction around those people, but it doesn't matter. I want you to know that there is countless souls that have been lost due to Satan's deception. Absolutely countless souls. I mean, it's innumerable, the number of people who are wandering down paths to destruction, who Satan has captured and will lead to their destruction. Countless souls have been lost due to that deception. That should be a warning. It should point us to something better. And the better thing is this, guys. Idolatry will ultimately lead to death, but life is still available to us today through Christ. Idolatry will lead to death. This worship of anything other than God, this turning aside to these false gods, the listening to these false teachers, it will lead to death, destruction, the destruction of your soul for eternity. But life is still available today. If as long as there's breath in your lungs, there's a chance to repent and believe on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love the fact that God is like abounding in mercy, long-suffering, and continuing to call out to people. The story of Jonah is a wonderful picture of that. God says, Jonah, go here. Jonah says, no. God has him get swallowed up by a whale, spit out on the seashore, and Jonah says, okay. God gives Jonah a second chance. And the message Jonah shares, a message of destruction for an entire city, the city of Nineveh. Repent, 40 days, or you'll be destroyed. And Jonah's excited about the destruction of Nineveh in 40 days. And much to his amazement, the Ninevites repent inside of the 40-day window. And God, who had pronounced judgment on those lost souls, instead extends grace and forgiveness to them in that moment. Even that wicked, wicked city can be saved. Because I want you to know that there is chance and salvation still. You may have wandered down some dark paths. You may have gone into some dangerous places. You may have traveled on some roads you should not have been, and you may have fallen prey to some of Satan's lies. But if you're breathing today, there's an opportunity today for you to receive life in Christ. The offer of God's grace through Jesus Christ is available today, even for sinners like you. Even for people who have wandered down paths you should never have been on. Your mother warned you about, your daddy warned you about, your grandpa warned you about, but you thought you knew better and you found yourselves at the bottom of the pit, like the prodigal son. Maybe you are looking at the slop the pigs are eating, saying, that looks better than what I have today. But the Father will take you back to be his son. As Hosea took Gomer back, the Lord will take you back. But you must return fully. You must repent of your waywardness and come back to the arms of grace. Our sin separates us from God. Every sin that we commit separates us from a loving God. But God sent Christ to die on our behalf so that our sins would be covered, so we can be made holy today. Yes, there is a path that leads to death. Idolatry will ultimately lead to your death. Avoid it at all cost. But there is a path that leads to life, and it is still open today. So as long as we have that path open, we must avail ourselves of that. Please, I beg you, if you're walking in ignorance away from the Lord, return today to the grace of God. Let me pray.